0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. I mentioned a few times last week when we were covering the horror in Gaza and indeed beyond, the powerlessness that people felt. You could hear it from our listeners as we discussed it over the programmes, and then at the weekend, this horrific event in Rafah. And I actually said at the end of one of the programmes last week, if you pray, whoever you pray to, and sometimes I think if the Pope flew to Gaza and stood there, it might bring people to their senses. But anyway, the Pope is in the news today, but he's in the news for a completely different reason, and that is comments he made in the last few days about the gay community. Father Iggy O'Donovan. Father Iggy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good afternoon, everybody.
And do you, Iggy, do you speak Italian?
Well, reasonably well.
Okay, you're in Rome. Can you explain? I know there's a few borders here in terms of good taste, but which is a bizarre thing to have to say about something the Pope said. But he said no homosexual should be allowed into a seminary, and then he seemed to say there was too many gay people in the priesthood. And then he went on to use an obnoxious phrase. Now, I know he used it in Italian. Is there any way? Is there any way he may not have understood the meaning of it in Italian, Iggy?
Well, how Francis wouldn't have understood the meaning would baffle me, because of all the recent popes, I'm talking about John Paul II and Benedict, who are both quite good linguists, but none of them had Italian to the degree that Papa Bergoglio, as the Italians call him, Pope Francis has, because his parents, of course, were Italian, and not only that, but he speaks idiomatic, localized Italian from the north of Italy, too. So, and he's so fluent, in fact, he can depart from his script at will. If somebody interrupts him or cheers or shouts, he salutes them in it. You know, he can come back because he has the language. So it's not a question of not understanding Italian, certainly. What could be the case on and off is that he's inclined to go off script and use idiomatic local phrases and so forth, because he's got that type of Italian, and it could well be that in his off-script moment he used an expression that certainly polite society in Italy wouldn't regard as normal.
Well, what polite society in Ireland regard as normal? It's homophobic,
isn't
it? Oh, no,
it wouldn't. It was a description of the LGBT community in a way that would be seen as highly derogatory, if not vulgar, and in fact vulgar. So that would be, coming from Francis, and particularly coming from a man who had made life, if you like, he was more welcoming, and the tone of his expressions when it came to the LGBT community, and even so far as permitting some of us to even bless same-sex weddings or unions, and if not full Catholic matrimony, but certainly a blessing, certainly a nod of approval, if you like. So Francis would be seen as friendly, if you like. So this coming from him, at best, I'd say it would be people would be disappointed. At worst, very, very disappointed.
At worst, they might say Benedict retired when he was 86 years of age. He lived, as we know, till he was 95. But Francis is now 87. Is it time for him to retire?
Well, I haven't heard it suggested by anybody that he hasn't got the full marbles. I've heard, quite the opposite, in fact. And I know he has a very busy program lined up, including a visit even to Asia, and I understand to North America. But interesting, I did get one take from a colleague earlier on today, because I was doing a little feedback research on this. And he said, why do you think it was leaked? In fact, he said it's in the interest of some people to leak it, because it was, and even Italy's most respected paper, Corriere della Sera, used the English word gaff, the gaff di Bergoglio, Bergoglio's gaff, and that this gaff, by releasing it, was said at a private meeting, that it in some ways could undermine him, put him in his place and shut him up about this pro-LGBT stuff. And
but if he did, if he did say it, and the word, we can't say the word here, but the word is all over Twitter at the minute. It begins with F, and it's not the F word, and it ends with T-R-Y. And he basically said there's too much of this in the priesthood.
My God, Joe, what have we come to? Did you ever think when you set out on Liveline all those years ago that you would have to tell your listeners you couldn't use a word that the Pope had used?
It
was vulgar. There's almost the humorous side to it when you think of it for a second. But
what do you think he should do? He'd apologise, would he?
I think the best he could do, if it was the case, and look, I'm prefacing my remarks by saying I'm assuming that what we're hearing is as reported as what we have, and that it's true. I'm assuming that.
Okay, well,
certainly if he used that expression, which he apparently did because it's coming from the most reliable of sources, then in that case, I think the simplest thing would be, look, I made a gaffe. I shouldn't have put it that way. Sorry about that. Mm. That is not my feeling. That is not how I feel about these things. Because I don't believe Francis himself feels that way about the LGBT community at all. In fact, all the indications he's given
What does your sexual orientation got to do with becoming a seminarian?
Well, we are told that anybody joining a seminary, if they are prepared to take on the commitment to celibacy, be they straight or be they homosexual, that chastity and celibacy would be equally.
Yeah, but he said, but he hasn't. But he hasn't said.
He hasn't. Nothing.
Yeah, but he hasn't said. Do not allow heterosexual men to enter the seminary. He said, do not allow homosexual men to enter the seminary.
One explanation I have been given, Joe, is that. What he was saying is that the degree to which, if you like, a whole homosexual mentality has infiltrated the seminaries, that any young man joining, that he might find the commitment.
Well,
that bit difficult.
Yeah, but
the atmosphere, in fact, is very homosexually orientated.
What's a homosexual mentality mean?
Well, I think the fear some people have, I'm not giving this as a scientifically defined opinion, is that the homosexual presence in seminaries and indeed the younger priesthood nowadays is such as to be unhealthy. In other words, that it's way above the percentage that would be normal in the larger outside community.
Okay, let's go to Italy and to Gerard O'Connell, who's the Vatican correspondent of America magazine. Gerard, good afternoon, and well respected, by the way. Gerard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And tell us, how big a story is this in Italy now?
Well, it's made the front pages of the main papers today.
Okay.
I think what's important to note here, and I think as Father Ige said, this was obviously leaked by some bishop. We know that the Italian Bishops' Conference, and I think at this meeting where the Pope, he meets the Italian bishops about twice a year.
Okay.
There were about 270 of them at this meeting.
Okay.
And it was meant to be behind closed doors. It was meant to be a confidential. And he runs a question and answer session. So they ask him questions and he speaks spontaneously. There's no text. He doesn't have a text. And what we know is, interestingly, there's nowhere in any of the press that I have read here, nobody gives a name and said, I heard the Pope say this.
Okay.
But there are several papers, and I've also found out that the Pope did use an expression which is offensive to gay people.
Yeah.
Now, the question here is, I myself have been in Italy for a long time now, and I didn't actually know this expression.
Okay.
Now, the Pope, as Father Ige said, yes, he learned Italian at home, Piemontese, from that kind of. But he thinks in Spanish, and he often does a translation into his mind into Italian. And sometimes he hears a word and repeats the word that he hears. Now, we don't have the context exactly of how this expression comes out, because we don't have the question that was asked. We think we know it was that the bishop, several bishops asked him about the question of openly gay people coming forward, wanting to join the priesthood and enter the seminary. Mm. And he, apparently one of them asked him, what should I do? And the Pope said, no, no. This is a position that the Vatican took on the Benedict XVI in 2005. Francis confirmed that position in 2016. And again in 2018, he told the bishops again in a question and answer session, don't be very careful. Don't, if you have any doubt, don't accept. So he's put down markers on this. But as Father Iggy said as well, he's the most friendly pope that we've had towards gay people. He, remember in July 2013, coming back from Rio de Janeiro from the World Youth Day, he came out with that famous phrase when he was asked a question about a priest who was accused of being gay, and he said, who am I to judge? If this man is trying to live a good life before God, who am I to judge?
Yeah, but Gerard, to be gay isn't... This is cold to Newcastle. But gay isn't a crime. Being gay isn't a crime. Being heterosexual isn't a crime. So why, if I have a vocation for the priesthood, why should my sexuality matter?
Well, there's been a long discussion about this. The Pope has often said he's known people who are been saintly people who have been gays. So the question here is, the whole discussion rose about the word he used and whether he understood what that word meant.
But Father Iggy would argue that, of course, he understood it. He can see. He can speak Italian. Is there anyone contesting that he actually used the F word about gay people?
No.
No. Okay.
But I have known him for many, many years, long before he became Pope, and I know that he is not always on target with when he uses Italian to express himself. Sometimes he's thinking something else. And so it is completely incongruous with this man that he uses homophobic language.
Well, as you say, it's a lead story in front of the Italian papers. It was this pretty big story on BBC. It hasn't featured yet on RT, but it was a big, big story on BBC News this morning and today programme, even though they have a general election coming up. They did a significant piece on it. But to even use that word, the F word, Gerard, about people who are gay people, is a pretty distasteful word.
Yes, presuming he understood what the word he was using.
Okay.
I'm not totally in agreement, Father Iggy, that he knows Italian to that perfection, because I've seen many times where he has... would it be misspoken or misused words without quite understanding what they were. We've seen many instances of this in the 12 years of his pontificate.
Iggy wanted to come back in, Father Iggy.
Yeah, I thought you, Gerard, gave a very, very balanced, what he's been saying there, a very balanced account indeed. I wouldn't be a great Italian speaker myself, but I was familiar with the word. It was an Italian said it to me, ironically, in relation to Pope Benedict. He wasn't being very complimentary to him, but he used that expression about him, an Italian priest, actually. And that's where I first learned it. So that, but I can accept Gerard's point that when you're without a script and off the cuff, which he's inclined to do, and... he's probably more at ease with Italian, say, than John Paul would have been. So, but you're inclined then, if you're going to euphemisms and so forth and dialect, the likelihood that you'll use such a phrase.
But there is a policy in the Catholic Church at the moment that if anyone displays any homosexual tendency, whatever, any homosexual displays any homosexuality, they shouldn't even be considered for the seminary.
I would think, Joe, that's one policy that has been interpreted in an extremely liberal manner. Extremely liberal. Okay.
Father Joe
MacDonald, straighter than that.
Father Joe, what do you think of what? Should the Pope think about retiring after saying, using that awful word about people who are gay?
Well, hopefully he won't. I'm hoping he'll keep going for a few years because he certainly, has been working through what I would consider a wonderful agenda. I love Francis. I doubt very much, I said what's been reported.
Gerard O'Connell is one of, if not the most, he's been on RT numerous times before, very respected. He said no one is contesting that the word was actually used.
No, but Gerard also said, and I thought it was interesting, I thought he was a very balanced and nuanced. Who said he said it? Where's the source for this? I mean, it was...
Yes, and we also don't know exactly the context.
Okay, okay.
Remember, I remember when he did the interview with the Swiss journalist about the white flag. Do you remember that?
Remind us, Gerard.
Well, I think it was in February, was interviewed by the Swiss radio and television.
Okay.
And the journalist asked him, do you think that in this crisis, in the war in Ukraine? The journalist suggested that he had heard some people saying that maybe it was time for Ukraine to raise the white flag. Francis repeated the question in his answer. He repeated about the white flag, but never meaning that Ukraine should surrender, but rather that it should be a white flag for negotiating peace.
Okay. Now, this brings us, and hopefully you continue to participate, but this brings us to something I said last
week. One second. I have just got something.
Okay, go ahead,
Gerard. You won't have.
Yes, please.
There's a statement from the Vatican Press Office.
Okay.
Pope Francis is aware of the articles that have... I'm translating from Italian,
well,
so
done,
I'm translating pretty freely. Of the articles about a recent circumstance, conversation behind closed doors with the Italian bishops. As he has affirmed on many occasions, in the church there is space for everybody, No one is useless. No one is superfluous. There is space for everybody. As we are all, the Pope never intended to offend or to express in homophobic terms, express himself in homophobic terms. And he asks to be excused by all those who have felt offended by the use of a term which has been referred by others. This is a very rapid translation.
Yeah, excellent.
So the Pope has never intended to offend or to express himself in homophobic terms. And he asks pardon of anybody who has felt offended by the use of a term which has been referred by others.
So
basically what the statement is saying...
So he does admit using the term.
Yes, but referred by others. So in other words, it's suggesting that he took up a term that others had used. This is breaking news.
And I really appreciate that. But he said, I never intended to offend.
I had no intention. I had never intention to offend or to express myself in homophobic terms.
But does that, is that not a prologue to saying I did use the word?
And
I'm sorry for using the word. He didn't say, he didn't, Jared, I really appreciate seriously what you're doing, it's, the translation, and it's getting, it's moving the story along significantly. I tell you, Jared, if with your permission, I'll take a quick break and I'll come back to you immediately after the commercial break. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We've been talking about the comments reported to be said by the Pope at a meeting of a Synod of Italian bishops last week, where he said, one, whether, as Father Iggy O'Donovan pointed out, he was simply repeating what a lot of people may not have known, that people would, people who are openly homosexual should not be allowed into a seminary. And that's number one. And then he said there was too much, and the word begins with F and ends with T-R-Y, in the church. And as we were talking to Gerard O'Connell, the Vatican correspondent of America magazine, Gerard got a statement in. Now, Gerard, am I right in thinking that, well, you've had another minute, which is not enough, but another minute to look at it and try and translate it from Italian. Is he accepting that he used the word, the Pope?
Well, yes. Basically, he's effectively saying that the word was used, but he did not understand it to be offensive, or to, he did not express wish to express himself in homophobic terms, and but the word was used by others. So he obviously picked it up from somebody else.
Okay.
This is the implication I read from the thing.
Okay, but you also said he does ask for forgiveness, does he not?
Yes, he asks forgiveness for those who felt offended by the use of this term. And he says in the church there's space for everybody as we are, all of us.
But there isn't if you're openly, whatever that means.
Well,
if you're openly homosexual, you shouldn't be allowed, regardless of your vocation, you shouldn't be allowed to join a seminary.
Well, that's what he's saying. He says that in the church there's space for everybody. I remember when I was with him in Lisbon for the World Youth Day, he kept saying, Todos. There's space for everybody. There's a place for everybody. No one is superfluous. There's a place for everybody as we are.
Okay. And Gerald, just briefly, how is he physically? He looks very physically infirm, does he not?
No, he's in great shape, really. For a man of 87, the only problem... Yeah, and he will be 88 in December. The only problem he's got is his knee. And as Father Iggy said earlier on, he's heading for a 12-day trip to four countries, Indonesia, Timor-Leste, Singapore, and Papua New Guinea, in the first from 2 to 13 of September.
And
he's in very good shape.
Okay. And I really, really appreciate that contribution. Stay with us. And I say, I mentioned the Pope in a different context last week. It was about what was happening in Gaza and the powerlessness that people felt. And is there anyone that could, maybe it's just symbolic. But Michael Rattigan, Michael, your point, please.
I'm just listening to the priest there, and I'm just gobsmacked. I mean, I can understand he has to stand up for because he's a priest. And as you said, the man, he's after coming out and saying it now. The damage is done now, and anyhow, one way or another. Was he not advised beforehand? Does he not have advisors there that read? I don't care whether it's a script, whether the man is, you know, incapable, of the Pope is incapable. But there's so much damage being done by the Catholic Church and by Rome itself. This is Rome. I'm talking about the Vatican. So they have some neck to turn around and tell people, gay people, who want to give their lives to serve God, to serve the church, or whatever.
Mm.
You know, I find that hypocrisy. I find it unreal. But you see, this has gone back a long time, Joe. When you had, I remember the Pope... Not Francis, the other one that was here all those years ago.
John Paul, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Joe. If we'd have known then what we know now, A million people wouldn't have turned up in the Phoenix Park.
Yeah, but that was 1970.
I'm telling you that.
Yeah,
no,
but that was,
not 90,
that was 1979, yeah,
but
Michael.
See, that,
but you also say this is this. You say the Pope, instead of talking about these issues, which I'm half alluding to myself, he should be. Where do you think he should go to Gaza and sit on the ground?
There's people out. You know what? It's amazing. What I always believe that we always listen to leaders, and he is one of the leaders of the Catholic Church, and he is over not a million people, millions all over the world, from Gaza to wherever else. He is the main man. I'm not ashamed to use that word. He is the main man.
Okay, well,
Catholic people looked at.
Let me put that.
He should have went over when this war started, and he should have either went over. I don't care whether he's to crawl or swim or anything like that. I know he's 80-something. He could have got on a plane.
87.
Yeah, 87. He could have got on a plane, went over, and thrashed this out between these two morons who are tearing at each other.
Iggy, could the Pope be doing more on Gaza, for example, or indeed Ukraine?
Even symbolically,
people feel so powerless.
When we look at the leadership around the world today, and particularly the despotic tyrants in China and Russia, and so much elsewhere, and of course the Gaza. Now, I didn't catch your listener's first name. There.
That was Michael.
Hello, Michael. And I only want to say, Michael, for myself at the beginning, at no stage did I defend the word that was used, by the way. At no stage.
I think Joe would agree with me.
I was quite the opposite.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I know morally he carries great weight, all right, compared to many leaders around the world. Whether he could have done that much in Gaza, I don't know.
Even if he just had went over there, I don't care whether the man didn't even talk. If he'd have went over there, and even just appeared there, I guarantee you, and if I won, you know, you can never put money on people's lives, but I believe in my heart and soul, if he'd have went over there with his throne of cardinals, I guarantee you something would have been done. He would have got these two people, two heads put together.
That's
exactly what should happen.
Look, can I say something?
Gerard, please, yes, please, Gerard O'Connell.
At the beginning, he phoned Joe Biden to tell him to do what he can to stop the war. He phoned the president of Israel and said, you cannot respond to terror with terror. Mm-hmm. And he got heavily attacked by Israel for saying that. And every night he phones the small Catholic community in Gaza at 7 o'clock every night. Mm-hmm. He has phoned them since the beginning of the war. He has done what he can. Nobody can get into Gaza. They won't allow international journalists in unless you go in an Israeli.
But refusing the Pope, would that not be?
The Pope can get in.
Gerard.
Absolutely not. Recently, the Patriarch of Jerusalem managed to get in, but they don't want Francis there at the present moment.
And is that not why you should go instead of going to East Timor and Indonesia?
He tried to go to Moscow, and they wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
The Ukraine would let him, but he said, "I want to go to Moscow at the same time." But they don't.
Well, why does he? Sorry, Father. Why does he?
Jared's not a priest. Jared's not a priest. He's a journalist.
Oh, sorry.
Very well respected. Go ahead, Michael. Yeah. What's your question to Jared then?
I don't have much more time.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I just want to ask you one question. I guarantee you, and I'll put my hand on my heart, if he tries one more time, I guarantee you with my hand on my heart, they will not turn him down. There's children dying. Innocent babies in hospitals.
Being incinerated.
I'm totally aware. He's totally aware of this. He has reports every day. And he's trying to push on the Americans because they're the ones who can stop it.
Okay. In fact, Jared, before you go, is there a conspiracy here against Francis?
Well, look, what the bishops, Italian bishops, at their big meeting last November. Mm-hmm. They had a big discussion on this whole question of the homosexuals entering the priesthood.
Yeah.
They had a split vote, but in favor of allowing people who weren't openly practicing gays to enter.
Yeah.
That document is still in front of it. And the Pope has the discussion at the Synod. It'll be in one of the working groups of the Synod. This question is coming up again.
Okay. Gerard O'Connell, thank you so much. Gerard O'Connell is a Vatican correspondent for America and for the American magazine. And he is given us that immediate translation of the statement from the Vatican that was issued about 2:02, which basically said the Pope didn't mean what he said, and he asked to be excused and effectively apologise. And if he offended anyone, he apologises. Okay, Gerard O'Connell, Father Joe McDonald, Father Iggy O'Donovan, and Michael Ratke. Joe McDonald, do you think the Pope has any? I know you love him, and in you admire him, and you have you follow his teachings, and you have a group that follows the teachings of Pope John as well. But Father Joe, do you think, I mean, I know Michael is speaking out of frustration, as we all are, about Gaza and indeed Ukraine. Is there anything more the Pope could do, symbolically even, to try and talk sense to the Middle East, and especially at the minute the Israeli government?
Yeah, I was very taken by what Michael was saying. I think Michael has a point, you know, and I hear what Gerard is saying. Obviously, there's not a simple sort of answer to it,
yeah. But
we can always do more. And I think the power of Francis shouldn't be underestimated. I was taken by what Michael was suggesting, and I think it's worth, hopefully somebody is listening that might pass it up the line, because it's worth exploring for anything that would bring any sort of peace or pause in the awful stuff that's happening. So I wouldn't dismiss what Michael has suggested. I think I hear his frustration, but what's wrong with the suggestion? Why not? Why can it not be passed up the line for serious?
Well, he would argue if there is a religious, if there is obviously a religious aspect to it, it's Jews and Muslims. You know, I know there are Christians there as well, but.
But sure,
anyway.
Joe, that is not the problem. You know, I think the world has become more and more radicalized, and you know, you see it across the world, and stuck in the middle of all that is religion. No, it's not religion in its good sense or its best sense. It's where religion goes off the rails, and before you know it, and there's, as you know, the old joke, Joe, I'm sure you heard it many a time, about, you know, what's the difference between negotiating with a liturgist or a terrorist? And you know the answer to that, the terrorist is open to negotiation. The worst form of extremism is where religion goes mad, because we quote, we think we've God on our side there, you know. But I think Francis is a wonderful, towering example of so much good in the world, and that's why Michael's suggestion, I think, has merit and shouldn't be dismissed.
Okay.
Final word, Joel.
Yes, Iggy, yes, please.
A final word. It just reminded me there when we were talking about Francis' intervention, which could be good. Michael may well be right, and Father Joe there, sure. But it just recalled something that was said. Joe Stalin, of fame, during the Second World War, it was mentioned about Pius XII being a mediator. And Joe Stalin famously said, "How many divisions has the Pope?"
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, so...
And Iggy, can I just ask you a question? It's inspired by something Michael said. It's been in my own head, because I know so many people who just find it so difficult to watch what's going on. Iggy, do you pray for peace?
I do, and sometimes feeling that I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
Because as somebody who dabbles in history at the moment, I have the awful feeling that we're sort of in a 1914 situation. Mm-hmm. One thing happening after the other, and that is it going to slip over the edge, as happened in 1914, when we had the war that ended peace, the war to end all wars, the war that ended peace. And there's so much going on, the threats to Taiwan, the North Korea, Gaza, Ukraine, it's endless. And I have rarely in my life been so pessimistic about where we're actually going. And then Trump coming back, oh, Lord spare us.
Joe, do you pray for peace?
Yeah.
Yourself? I know you do from the altar, but...
No, I pray at night prayer. I pray on my own before I go to bed. And one of the things I pray for, I pray through the intercession of John the 23rd. You mentioned him earlier. What I with great affection, refer to as Auron Cali. Hard to believe, though, he wrote an encyclical called Pacem in Terris, Peace on Earth. Honest to God, I read it again recently. It's incredible that it was written back. You know, he became Pope in 58, died in 63. To read it again, as Father Iggy was saying there, the state of the world today has never before, I'd say, needed, you know, the message of the Prince of Peace, Jesus of Nazareth. Never before. And I say that with respect, obviously, to the other world religions and so on.
Yeah.
Never before. And so, like, to answer your question, yes, I do. And I'd be encouraging anybody.
And is it a set, Joe? Prayer is a very intimate moment. Is it a set prayer, you say, or you just invoke Pope John the 23rd?
Both. Oh, okay. I use both, yeah. I got the habit from my mother and father. I think my dad just fell asleep very quickly during the prayers. My mother had a bundle of leaflets from Padre Pio to Martin de Porres and so on, and she used to be telling me, oh, I fell asleep. I said, what a nice way to fall asleep. She fell asleep praying. But I use the intercessory stuff of a little leaflet and so on. But then I try and pray from the heart, Joe, as best I can.
Okay. By the way, Joe, how is your health? Tell me. I know it's none of my business. How are you keeping?
You're ambushing me now.
I'm not. I don't. If you don't want to talk about it, I got a frantic phone call from all my friends in Ballyfermot about 2 months ago saying, Father Joe, now you sound absolutely brilliant. How are you doing?
Thanks for asking, Joe. I got a bit of a scare, to be honest with you. I took bad at mass one morning, but thanks be to God, it has been well managed with a small amount of medication.
Okay.
And it's a blood thing, really, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But thanks be to God, I'm well on the mend. And I appreciate you asking.
Well, I'm asking on behalf of myself as well, because I'm so fond of you. But so many people have asked me. Okay, good Amina Market, that's Father Joe McDonald, Iggy, Gerard O'Connor, Michael Ratigan, Joe with RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe with RT.ie, we're talking about this story. Of the Pope's comments about people who are gay and their position in the church and whether they should be welcomed or not. And then he used a pejorative word, which he since apologised for. Well, since the last 20 minutes, as you heard, Gerard O'Connell, as he translated this statement from the Vatican at 2:05. Marion, you were listening. Your point, please, Marion.
I'm both saddened and angry, Joe, at here we have a public... a person in the public eye using language that can both incite and justify attacks on gay people. You know, it translates, and I don't see the Christianity in the talk. People coming to his defence, yes, he may do a lot of good, but the impact on people who are gay can result in a lot of tragedy, as we have seen on Dublin Street. Attitudes and exclusion of people. Language is powerful, and people in, you know, positions such as his need to use it very carefully. And even the exclusion of people, you know, and the language that was used there, homosexuals, as though people are an alien something group, rather than people who are gay. I'm both angry and I'm sad that here we are, when so much is happening in the world, and instead of promoting kindness and inclusion, there people are getting in little groups and saying you can't come in, or you can come in to a certain level, but you couldn't train and be a role model, or you couldn't get married. You know, where is the Christianity? I, as somebody who's now outside the church and who questioned a lot as I was brought up, I'm still questioning in lots of things.
Okay,
where is the actual Christianity?
Yeah, and were you aware, a number of the contributors there before the break made the point that what the Pope said is disappointing, regardless of the context, and regardless is disappointing because they say he had been much more conciliatory again my word, but wrong word, conciliatory to the LGBT community. Were you aware that he had been much more conciliatory?
I believe some of his statements have been better than perhaps previous popes. But as, you know, who wants to be conciliatory or just tolerate it? Where is the humanity in, you know? And yes, you know, I acknowledge the church has the right to interpret the rules or make the rules, but do they realise that they're not just losing maybe some gay people, and many gay people want to be part of the church, but they're also maybe losing people who would be part of the church but don't like that exclusionary attitude. You know, and they certainly can't afford to lose too many people, or they end up with a very conservative... and I know it isn't just the Pope. I mean, it's the people surrounding him. It's the councils, yeah, the different things. And, you know, which we are all men.
Very well, you know, invariably, yeah.
We don't know whether they're straight or gay.
Yeah. It's irrelevant, isn't it?
It is. I mean, they're there to promote, you know, love and humanity and kindness and compassion. And what do these statements contribute to that?
Okay. When you say you are not a believer anymore, was there anything in particular that moved you?
Oh, there was. I had a son and I wasn't married, and after a few years of feeling there's something in with some people in society, I thought, why am I even pretending to be part of this religion that I actually hadn't believed in? I remember at 12 years old saying to my mother, when she said, the father's giving the bride away, and I said, who's giving the groom away? Mm-hmm. I had this kind of equality thing in my head, you know, ownership. And it was the Bishop Casey thing that really finished me. I thought, no, you know, here's a person supposedly leading people. I would have some sympathy for priests. I think they can live very lonely lives, and many of them do fantastic work. Okay. But equally, I think a lot of people get caught up in the, you know, the power of being the priest or the parish priest, and forget about relating to people who need compassion, and when they are in a position that they can provide it.
Well, I see that Sky News are now they're very clear in their headline. They say, this is the last few minutes, excuse me, you heard it about 2 o'clock from Gerard in Rome. Gerard O'Connor. It's Sky News. In Vatican apologises after Pope uses derogatory term for gay men. So they're quite clear on what has happened. Marion, thanks indeed. Let me go to Pat, who's on WhatsApp. Pat, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe? How are things?
Good.
I agree with everything that lady, that very articulate lady that's just been on. It's a huge cause of disappointment to me, Joe, because as your researcher may have informed you, I have a gay son who's 44 now. I'm 70 myself, and I'm retired from Neilstown, where I was principal for a long time. Okay. And the first one for me was when Benedict made a comment. Now, your researcher has asked me not to make the quote in case I might have it incorrectly.
We'll find it. Do your best.
Yeah, but it was a force for evil was used in the same sentence as the kind of gay community. Now, I would have been a very staunch, but I would have been a believer, and I would have been a Catholic Church person. But like when that happened, I couldn't attend anymore. I really couldn't, and like all the kids, I would have gone through confirmation in that school. I would have been immersed in religion. But like having a gay son changed a lot of things for me, and seeing that the way they were treated. So when this happened today, I really couldn't believe it, because I thought there were good signs coming from this present Pope about welcoming people into the community and everyone is welcome. So whether it was a slip of the tongue or whether he didn't mean it or what, But it does cause me a lot of worry and a lot of, because what it does, Joe, I think it gives license to people who are kind of against the gay community to be even more so. Yeah. if the church is seen to be backing that kind of attitude. And that worries me in today's world, where people, you know, pick up messages and then run with them and maybe go too far with them. And that would be a worry for me. But it was a source of disappointment.
Well, the phrase, in fairness, you are right about Benedict. The phrase he used was homosexual inclination was objectively disordered and a tendency towards evil.
Yeah, I was close. Yeah, yeah. And I wonder, when that happened, Joe, I actually couldn't believe it. Now, I know he's much more conservative than the present Pope.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that, is a disappointment as well, isn't it? That the present Pope...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, Joe. And what I've seen as well, I noticed before I retired, that homophobic bullying had become more prevalent, I think, in schools. And like kids coming in with certain runners, so they're so gay and all this. This was kind of used as, you know, and I think it's even become more prevalent now if you look at social media and the stuff that our former Taoiseach has had to go through as well, with all kinds of stuff being shouted at him in restaurants and on social media. So the fire is strong enough without the Pope putting more petrol on it, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's my view. Anyway.
And Patrick, thank you so much. And in regards to you and your son. And by the way, Patrick, thank you for your service to that wonderful school in Neilstown in Clondalkin in Dublin. A great, great school, and well done to you and indeed all the teachers still there, including some of my own relations at this stage. Well done. Thanks, Pat, and enjoy whatever tranquility and peace and rest you can get in your long retirement ahead, I hope. James Howland. James, sorry for holding you, James. You say your son is gay as well, but how do you react to this one comments by Pope Francis and now his apology?
I start very simply, Joe, and I say, how you doing, Joe? I remember you in Trinity long time ago, late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
My son isn't gay. He's queer, okay? That's the new word. Okay. It's as simple as that, okay?
Okay.
And I know that the word that was used, because I don't do social media, but I know the word that was used is also a joint of mutton. So I leave it. And can I just say, in general, the people that rang in previously, they were kind of trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And they mentioned loads of virtues, but they didn't mention that one important virtue, forgiveness.
Okay.
We should have... Okay. And the second one I'll give you is, we always have to understand, we don't know anybody else. We barely know ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't judge another human being. We can judge their actions if they're impinging us, but we can't judge. So like, I'd be okay with the New Testament if you just could drop St. Paul, the misogynist. That's just my view.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm a very devout atheist.
Okay.
And people are ringing in here saying that they lose faith and they got faith and all that stuff.
Okay, James Howland. Thanks, good amino Margaret. James. Jer, good afternoon. Sorry for holding you. Jer, what's your reaction to what you've been hearing so far?
Well, I have to say I'm desperately sad, Joe. I was just after getting my hair done, came out, sat in the car, turned it on, heard the discussion, checked it on the news, and I've just been sitting here in my car crying. I have two adult children, and they're both gay, my son and my daughter.
Okay.
Both fabulous young people with fabulous partners, and I'm incredibly proud of them, and I'm proud that I know who they are, and I'm proud that they know who they are. My son, in particular, has always been religious since he was a child, and even as an adult. On Easter Sunday, he was the one who actually dragged me to Mass. Now, that's a how often does that happen with your 30-year-old son in my 60s? And it has always upset me that there was no place in this church for him. And I have friends, good friends, who are priests, and I did say to one of them recently, you know, I have this son who's religious and there's no place in this church for him. And he said, you're absolutely right, there isn't. And then I hear the Pope, who we were so hopeful for in his language around gay people. And I'm saying gay, I know that last speaker said queer, but my son would refer to himself as gay, as with my daughter.
Fine, yeah.
And then he comes out with this statement and this language. As if it isn't difficult enough for our children to be judged and to have to explain themselves, and for the Pope to do this, it just devastates me. You know, both my children want to get married. You know, my son would love to get married in the church. It won't happen. My daughter would turn her, just thinks they're completely homophobic, and of course it completely reinforces that for her. But really, what is their obsession with sex, and what is their obsession with gay people? You know, is he not surrounded by all kinds of sinners people that he could be more concerned with? Why my children? You know, they're no different to anybody else's children, and that there is obviously going to be no place in this church for them ever. Kids won't have an aisle to walk up, you know. My kids won't have a blessing. My son will never have what he wants. No, he comes to Mass with me, and I say, Ian, come up to communion with me. I shouldn't have said his name anyway. He comes to communion with me. He actually was a minister of the Eucharist since he was in school, and they've been at weddings, and he, in fact, has given out communion. And I just think, you know what? Okay. I don't care what any man in a frock says, what you should or should be doing. You go and do it. Yeah. And he does. Because I've tried to teach him that there's good.
Jer, as you say, you were listening in the car and you first heard about this, an hour or 45 minutes ago. No, nearly an hour ago. Did you Google, did you find out, please don't repeat it. Though it was mentioned on BBC this morning. Did you find out what the actual word was that the Pope used?
No, it said it was an Italian slur, Italian slang word, and that apparently he uses these slang words. But I don't care, you know, you don't issue, if you're a public figure, you don't issue statements without knowing the language that you use. Language is powerful, words are powerful.
Okay.
You know, he knows that, there's no forgiveness for that.
Okay.
It amuses me that when they were small, I remember reading the baptismals, the rites before I got them baptized to see what I was actually promising to do, and I was more concerned about my daughter, and they wouldn't let her. She wasn't allowed to be a minister, not a minister of the Eucharist, an altar girl, because our local parish didn't have it. And that really bugged me, you know, and to think that it was my daughter I was worried about, as if they weren't anti-woman enough, that they're also anti my children for who they are. How awful it is. My kids have to be careful when they go on holidays. They can't just go to any country and assume they'll be safe like everybody else's children, because they have to weigh up the degree of homophobia in those countries. Most people's kids just book a holiday and go away for a weekend.
Yeah.
My kids can't. You know, what is this? What does this Pope think that he's doing? You know,
just say that to me again, Jerry. Your children, your adult children, have to, when they're booking a holiday, you just can't say, oh God, I love the sound of that country.
Absolutely. They will always have to check out where they're going and how safe they're going to be. You know, my son recently was in a city overnight with his boyfriend, and they booked separate rooms because they had to do this layover. And I just thought, nobody else's child has to do this. But even, you know, there are countries in Europe where they have to be careful.
And I
see don't deserve this.
That TD, Leo Varadkar, former Taoiseach, he's been putting down parliamentary questions as a backbencher, so to speak. And one of the questions he put down in the last week was to his former colleague and his former boss and his former deputy, so to speak, Micheál Martin. And he put down the question to him, should the Irish government consider reducing aid to government bodies and agencies in Ghana and Uganda, given their decision to harden laws that criminalise same-sex relationships? And he's very conscious of it, obviously. And he said the reply was, Ireland does not provide money to either of those national governments, but does support overseas funding to, and the government believes funding at a time of exceptional need in both countries, reducing funding at a time of exceptional need in both countries would have a negative impact on those most in need. Okay, well that's...
But he's dead right, and fair play to him for following it through, because if one more person tells me that, you know, life is so much better for our gay children nowadays, that's not true.
Good
that's
point.
So not true. You know, walk in their shoes. Okay. You know, my daughter tells me that she feels she has to permanently come out because the minute somebody hears that she has a girlfriend, they say, oh, how did your parents react? She said she feels she has to come out almost every time she meets somebody new.
Yeah.
And then to have this from, if you know, from the Pope, really, where does it stop? Where does it stop?
Okay, Ger, good to meet you, Margaret, and kind regards to your family and Joe at RT.ie. Thank you. Thank you.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Let's go back to 1978, the year before Pope John Paul landed in Dublin in the jumbo jet, and a million people waved at him from the Phoenix Park and then waited for him. Noel, are you there? Good afternoon. Just going off my screen. I know, 1978. No, Noel.
Yes, Joe. How
back,
are you
bring us back to 1978. Yourself and your wife, Rena, were on holidays in Skull in County Cork. What happened?
Yeah, back in 1978, we actually went to Skull for 20 years. We had a mobile home there in the caravan park for years.
Yeah.
And this day I was walking down the pier, and a little young lad who was from Dublin ran up to me and he said, my brother Lawrence is after falling into the water.
Wow, Lawrence,
and,
okay.
I had my three-year-old son, Paul, with me, and Lawrence, who was after falling into the water, his young brother was with me, was standing next to me. So I said, hold his hand and don't move, because it was an open pier. So I ran down and I just saw this little red head popping up. He had fallen, he went to jump on a trawler, the passenger boat that ferries from Skull to Cape Clear, coming in. And he missed his step. He was about four or five years of age. And he fell between the boat and the pier. So I saw this little red head coming up through the water. So I jumped down onto the tire that was acting as a fender on the boat. And I held up with one hand, and his little head popped up again, and I grabbed him by the hair. And I got him up onto my knee, onto the tire, and a local chap then, Michael Barnett, who has since emigrated to Australia to be with his family. He had a business there in Skull. And he brought me up, and the young lad was soaking, but he was fine. And my worry was, with the boat coming in, that with the swell, the trawler would move in close to the pier and we could have been injured. And anyway, we got him up, and my wife turned up then. She was a bit behind us, and we got a coat out of the car and put him in and dropped him back up home to the caravan site. And his name was Lawrence Clancy. I often wondered how he was getting on. His mother, Eileen, was a sister of Joe Cuddy, the singer. And they were lovely people. They came to Skull for quite a few years. And, you know, you meet so many people in a caravan park, and someone you become quite friendly with them, and they played with our kids and so on. But I often wondered how he was getting on. It's quite a long time ago.
And he was only six, and it was 1978. That means he's in his late 40s. Well, if he's around six, late 40s, early 50s, please God, he's hale and hearty. But you had a connection with him because you feel, well, he feels the well that you saved his life. And you grabbed him by the hair, Noel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was holding on to the tyre on the side of the trawler.
I know it, yeah, yeah.
I was hanging on with one hand, and I was young and fit at the time. We're well used to the water. We water skied in Skull for about 20 years. And just got hold of him and got him up, and that was it. Luckily enough, he was a small little lad. And that was that.
Okay. And you lost contact, obviously, over the years, and you'd love to know.
It's
a story we did here about 6 months ago, and was an incident up at Bin's Bridge in Drumcondra. Similar incident, by the way, in that it was a chap on a bicycle.
I heard that on the programme.
And we reunited the two of them. It was the most joyous occasion. By the way, Noel, what age group would you be in now yourself?
I'll be 78 now in December.
You're still young. Yeah, it'd be great.
Day,
but you know,
I met just, you one day, Joe, in a pub in Cork a few years ago. Okay. You were leaving, and we had a good chat.
Oh, very good, and, very good.
And we had a good chat about a lot of different. That's quite a few years ago.
Great stuff. And Noel, but, so you're not getting any younger. I'm not getting any younger. But you'd love to find out how that young child was, where he is now, Lawrence Clancy.
Absolutely.
In school, on his holidays, the year's 1978. The year before papal visit, which is a big thing here, as you know. And have you saved anyone else's life since, Noel?
Well, a bit before that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
We became quite famous. We ended up ditching a four-seater aircraft in Roaring Water Bay a few miles from Skull. And that was the 22nd of September 1973.
What happened?
And we were members of the Munster Aero Club.
Okay.
And we were about the only ones that went away in the plane. We went to the Isle of Man, Jersey, Guernsey, myself now and a friend of mine, Mick Murphy, who was my best man, and he was my best man. We were in business for years. And two others, and Eric Hutchins was the pilot. And it was... we were basically... We had problems with the instrumentation.
Okay.
And we were flew home... from Luton. We stayed overnight in Luton.
Yeah.
And we were blown off course and only had a compass, which doesn't give you very accurate information. To make a long story short, we saw the fastnet light and turned and ended up in a calm area, Roaring Water Bay. And at that stage, we were almost out of fuel. And Eric was a former RAF pilot.
Right.
And he made an emergency landing. We flopped on the water, 88 miles an hour, the lowest flying speed. And we had a fixed undercarriage on it. It was a small aircraft.
Okay.
And it was all like all my car crashes coming together. We hit the water fairly hard.
And many of you were on the plane? Just the two of you? Four.
Four, yeah.
And Roaring Water Bay, unfortunately, has gone into our vernacular since because it's where Sophie Toscan de Plantier lived and was murdered. But Roaring Water Bay, so you decided to... Were you ditching the plane or trying to land the plane?
Oh, no, we had to ditch. You see, at night, every field and every ditch looks about 6 inches tall. And it was 9:15 at night. We should have landed in daylight, but we were blown off course and... as I say, we had our alternative was to make an emergency landing in the sea. Mm-hmm. And it was very calm in Roaring Water Bay. And Eric was very skilled. He just stood the plane more or less on its tail and flopped it in the water.
Wow.
But it was still a severe impact. And he was knocked unconscious.
Good God.
Frank McGarry got out of the plane. Mick Murphy got out of the plane. And I kind of came to and I thought Eric was leaning forward against the dash to leave us out. We were all a bit dazed. So then I got out onto the wing and I saw Eric was inside and he was bleeding and I went to pull him out and then realised he had a seatbelt on. So I went back in, got the seatbelt off and I lowered him into the water to Mick Murphy and the two of us swam away ashore with him. And we had about a half a mile to swim, but Mick and myself, like the plane was going down at this stage and we had about a half mile to swim and... But Mick and myself were well used to the water. We water skied together for years.
But the pilot who was unconscious, the pilot that was unconscious,
mm-hmm.
How did you get him? How did you save him?
Well, we swam ashore with him. And there was a man up in the headland then, and he cupped his hands and he roared down at us. He said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Where are we?" And he said, "File the muck." And I said, "Where's Foyle the Muck?" He said, "Melody Hob." And Mick and myself broke our hearts laughing because Mick is a house down in Skull and we were down there for years and we water skied. We learned to water ski in Skull and became quite handy at it. And we broke our hearts laughing that we ended up so close to it. And anyway, we got ashore with Eric and this man, Mr. McCarthy, he got on his bike and cycled to Melody Hob and... raised the alarm, and then the local doctor arrived, the squad car arrived, and sure, we knew most of them. We knew the guard and the police car, and as I say, they left the lights on in the squad car then to light the small farmyard, and then the ambulance came, and of course they were treating Eric, and Eric had come round. The lady in the house, Mrs. McCarthy, made a cup of tea, and Eric, everywhere he went, Isle of Man everywhere. He had to stop for a cup of tea.
He was a hero.
And the minute he hit the drop of tea, he came round.
He was fairly
injured.
And the wreckage of the plane?
Well, the plane sank. And
it's still there, is it? The bottom of Roaring Water Bay?
No. There was on the... That was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
On the Monday, a local diver, Tony Payne, he dived down on the Sunday, got up all gear and all the rest of it. And on a Monday then, the plane was dragged ashore.
Okay, and, located it, yeah.
There was a bit of a free-for-all with people claiming salvage.
Of course, yeah.
I think the Rolls-Royce engine ended up in the Garda station in Bantry.
Okay.
And
everyone was okay. Eric was okay afterwards.
He had about 4 or 5 weeks in hospital, and he was grand afterwards.
Oh, that's good news. That's good news. You want another bit of good news, Noel? Lawrence Clancy.
Yes.
Lawrence Clancy has been in touch. He's not in a position to talk at the moment. He is fine and well. He's thrilled to hear you, and with your permission, we can give you his phone number at the end of the programme. But he's fine and well, and he'd love to establish contact with you again, and he can really
live.
So well done. So well done.
They were a lovely family.
Okay, well done.
So that was it. But the cat had 9 lives. I think I've only 7 left.
You've lost. Okay. Well done for what you did to Lawrence.
And we have to tell the tale.
Lawrence is. You'll be talking within the next few minutes. Thanks indeed. That's Noel. Go to Míle Maith Go Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Bridget Stain. Bridget, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
The comments of the Pope, which he since, in the last hour, apologised for about his reference to people who are gay and the phrase he used in conversation. Your reaction, Bridget?
Well, I have just been coming in and out, and I was listening to the lovely lady who said she was crying because two of her children were gay and her son was very religious and would love to get married, but didn't have that option. And I am the on the verge of retirement minister at the Dublin Unitarian Church.
Ah.
And we have been doing weddings for same-sex couples for years. And before it was legal, we did blessings. When civil partnerships came in, we did those. And now we do weddings. And it's a pleasure to be part of these couples' lives. That's all I say. An absolute privilege.
And you don't have to be a member of the church, of the unity.
You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't ask questions about what you believe or don't believe. Our weddings are the very same for every couple.
And are you a terrible word to use, busy, Bridget, but I'm telegraphing. Are you busy?
Not hugely.
Oh, okay.
If you look on our website, there are some wedding photographs, and there's a lovely one of Kevin and Andrew, and I don't know how many years old that is. But but we welcome people. The other thing is we don't impose anything except the legal vows that everyone has to say. They choose their readings, their music, everything like that. And if they can get a clergy person from another denomination to do a blessing. Now, they can't do the legal marriage.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine.
Okay. And the Unitarian Church is so well, it's on Stephen's Green, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Is there just a one branch, so to speak? Have you just a one building, Bridget?
There was one in Cork, but Cork had a fire there in January, so that's very sad. But there are a good few in Northern Ireland as well, but they go under the lovely name that trips off the tongue called the Non-Subscribing Presbyterian Church.
The non-subscribing. Subscribing.
Presbyterian Church.
And how would you describe the Unitarian Church or 12 or in 12 words or fewer?
Unitarian Church had its roots in the Christian tradition, but we've always refused to impose beliefs or creeds on people.
Okay.
Everyone is free to find their own spiritual path.
Okay.
And we welcome people of all faiths and none.
And is Jesus Christ equal to God?
No, Jesus is a very wise human person.
Okay.
A teacher and a person of wisdom, among many teachers and people of wisdom in the world.
Okay. And the last time I was in the Unitarian Church was we were reading out the names of the people who were killed in Northern Ireland. But it is a beautiful, beautiful venue with its stained glass windows, and it's a beautiful,
peaceful place.
Yeah, and its intimacy. And I was in another beautiful place the other day. People might have forgotten it. I remember my father bringing me into it in Delir Street in Dublin. It was called the Sacred Heart Oratory. And the Sacred Heart Oratory is gone from Delir Street, but it's on Bachelor's Walk.
Walking
by it the other day, and I went in for a few minutes, and it is as peaceful and as tranquil as ever. And there was a service about to begin, benediction, and there was a lovely atmosphere. You just step in out of the hustle, bustle, melee of Dublin city centre. It's good. And the same attitude or the same atmosphere in the Unitarian Church. Bridget Stane, do I call you Reverend?
Some people do, but Bridget, everybody calls me Bridget.
Okay, Bridget. I won't call you Saint. Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Okay. Bridget Stane, Gura Míle Mógud, on sound today, Harry Buckless, Research, Clara Eustace, producer, Owen McLaughlin. Thank you, Bridget. And Saint Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Revamp your home this May with our fresh new curtain and bedding designs. Discover comfort and style for every room.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.